Tonight we continue our Lenten series, The Hand of the Lord. And tonight our focus is the hand of the Lord who was pierced for us. Over the course of this series, we have continually seen how the Lord's hands have been at work for us. Our broken hands are in His hands, as He is the master physician who is able to bring us back to life. His hand is strong to save and pulls us up from the depths of our despair. He has bound the strong man, the devil, by the very finger of God. He reached out to heal people with leprosy, and He continues to bring eternal healing to the untouchable. His hand of compassion stops death in its tracks and gives life. All things are in His hands, including our very lives. Last night, having all things in His hands, He served His disciples and He fed them. And He continues to serve and feed us with His Holy Supper even today. But it has all been leading up to this very moment, for on this Good Friday, He was delivered into the hands of sinful men, indeed, even our very own hands. What did the hands of sinful men do to Jesus? His betrayer, Judas, handed Him over to a band of soldiers to arrest Him and take Him to Annas, the high priest. One of the officers struck Him with his hand when Jesus testified to the truth. He was handed over to Caiaphas. All the while, Peter was warming his hands by the fire, denying his Lord. And Jesus was handed over to Pilate, who wanted to be hands off with the whole matter. Soldiers used their hands to twist the crown of thorns, press it down on His head, clothe Him in purple, strike Him with many blows. And the cries of "Crucify Him!" echoed all the louder as Pilate attempted to wash his hands of the whole matter. And just like that, the very Lord of glory was crucified. Nails driven into the hands of the Lord. This is the work of the world's hands. This is the work of our hands. Today, we often put too much emphasis on the work of our hands. No matter how great or little that we do, we think that we deserve to be elevated and exalted. We desire to put ourselves first in all things, desire to even put ourselves above God Himself. We think we deserve to be the ones that are in charge. We think we deserve to be the king. But there cannot be more than one king. Our desire to elevate ourselves means that anyone else who claims to be king must die. That is just what we have done to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The sinful work of our own hands hoisted Him up on the cross and drove nails into His hands. And what can Christ do with His hands nailed to the cross? It may appear that His hands can do nothing. To those who witnessed these events, it looked like the hands of sinful men were orchestrating everything. After all, what can hands do when they're nailed to the cross? Isaiah's prophecies foretold it all. Isaiah writes of the suffering servant who had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. We esteem him not. Isaiah is not just speaking for himself. We all have taken part in this. This is our sin. This is my sin. This is what we have to offer the Lord's servant. Our sin drove these nails into the hands of our Lord. And to those who saw these things take place, it appeared that this was only the work of sinful men. But Isaiah helps us to see that Christ's suffering death was not only the work of our hands. He continues in chapter 53 that this one whom we esteemed stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted has accomplished something that we could not do. For he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. This chastisement was done to bring us peace and healing by his wounds. This world's sin, our sin, my sin, has been laid on him. Yet it was will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. It is true that this sinful world did these things to Christ. However, it was the will of the Lord that this is how salvation would happen. He makes intercession for the transgressors from verse 12 of Isaiah 53. Christ has atoned for all of our sin. In fact, he has atoned for the sin of the whole world. Every evil deed, every hateful action, every sinful thought. He has taken the punishment that we actually deserve for the work of our hands. He willingly took our place in order to bring forgiveness and life and salvation to us sinners. Willingly remaining silent like a sacrificial lamb, he took all of our transgressions upon himself. He took all of it to the cross and received in his body the full punishment that we deserved. The wrath of God and condemnation that this world has earned and deserved by the works of our hands was poured out on him. It was all nailed to the cross. What can those hands do when they're nailed to the cross? Well, those are not just any hands. Those are Jesus' hands. When it's Jesus' hands on the cross, they are the hands of the Lord. They are life-giving hands. The hands of the Lord are strong to save, even when it looks like weakness. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross is the very picture of the powerful hand of the Lord at work. Isaiah 53:10 reads, that the will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The will of the Lord prospers in the hand of Christ, who was nailed to the cross. And because in Christ being nailed to the cross, we have the forgiveness of our sins. And with his hands and feet and pierced side, in this very act itself, he is able to do more than the most powerful human being. He's able to do more than anyone else. He is able to do what no one else can do. And he has done it. For he cried out, "It is finished." All his work to atone for our sins was concluded on that cross over 2,000 years ago. What can Jesus do with hands nailed to the cross? He atoned for the sins of the whole world. Jesus went through all of this suffering in order to give you, me, all of us eternal life. And he continues to extend his hand to you today through the preaching of the word, through the forgiveness of your sins, through the pouring of water in the word and holy baptism, and through the feeding of you, his body and blood, in the Lord's Supper. What can Christ do with his hands nailed to the cross? He does what only Christ can do. He pays for our sins. This is the will of the Lord prospering in his hand. This is the power of the hand of the Lord for our salvation. It may not be what we would have expected, but it is exactly what we need. The one with the pierced hands draws us close so that we can be with him in heaven forever. And to God be the glory.